Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hello, everybody. It is my favorite time of the week, Thursdays at 3, coming to you live from a parking lot in Silver Spring, Maryland, where I have pulled over to stop to do this show prior to going in to see a wonderful lady named Lisa, who is a customer of ours here, who bought some Groupon vouchers, and we are here to haul away some stuff for her. But we're not going to do that for an hour, so we can stay here and do the radio show with a very cool young lady named Sarah Barton, who is one of the happiest people that I know. I've known her for maybe, 25 years, something like that. And as I've seen her on Facebook and I see her posts, she is always smiling. And as a guy who holds himself out to the world, I've done this for 10 years on my Facebook page. It says right up front that I am one of the 10 happiest people in the world, me, Oprah, and 8 other people I haven't thought much about. Well, I've thought a little bit about Sarah Barton, and I am thrilled to have her on the show today because we're talking about not only how to get some of the junk out of your living room and out of your garage and whatever, but we're also interested in getting it out of your life. And Sarah has a little bit of magic about her that keeps her upbeat and pumped up and happy more than most people. So, Sarah, we are delighted to have you on the show. Can you hear me okay?
I can. Thank you so much for that great intro. I'm so happy to be here.
You're welcome. I love having you here. I'm in Silver Spring, Maryland right now. Where are you right now?
I am in Gilbert, Arizona.
I love Gilbert, Arizona. That is a great place. One of my elementary school buddies named John Lewis was the mayor of Gilbert, Arizona for many years.
No way. So, that's really cool.
Yes. Yes. So you're in a great spot there. Would you just tell everybody a little bit about you so they get to know you a little bit better?
I'd love to. Thanks so much. I am Sarah. I am a mom of 3. My husband is my best friend. I'm a fitness instructor, a first grade teacher, a camp counselor, your cheerleader, everybody's cheerleader. And people will tell you that I'm their biggest fan. At my core, I believe you should never keep a compliment to yourself. So how that turns out is I'll come up to you, whether I know you really well or not, and I'll say, gosh, you're stunning. You're beautiful. You're inspiring. You're fun. And I truly believe that there is a rock star in each of us because we have God-given talents. And my goal in life is to help others shine their brightest.
That's a wonderful way to say it. And I think you naturally do that. So I want to ask you a little bit about some of the stuff that you just mentioned. Let's start with your husband. Tell me how you met your wonderful husband.
Oh, we met at BYU. I was teaching first grade, And he was in my family home evening group, which if you, what that means is, well, we were neighbors. And our church would do this little program Monday nights where they'd get groups together. And we weren't actually in the same families, but really they were just trying to get singles together. And he was in my group, and we were friends for a long time. And one day we looked at each other and said, gosh, I really like you. And during that Tangled song, that movie with Rapunzel and all that, during the boat scene,
right.
He gave me a kiss, and it was done after that. So.
And you guys have been tangled together ever since, right?
Yes.
Now, you're a first grade teacher. How long have you taught first grade?
I taught first grade for 7 years, and now I teach my littles at home. I've got two littles at home and one in heaven. So Rebecca's 8 and Joshua's 5.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And so you're busy teaching them. You taught first grade for 7 years. You're a very happy person. When you teach first graders, you have, what, 6-year-olds, I guess, about, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
What do you enjoy most when you taught them? What did you enjoy most about teaching kids that age?
Oh, I love kids that age. I mean, I love kids any age, but what is so special about kids that age is just the light in their eyes when they get it. And first grade is really a big grade for learning to read. And they come in kind of reading like, you know, cat, hat, sat. And they come out reading, you know, really low-level chapter books like Junie B. Jones. I mean, they really just take off. And it's really fun to see the light in their eyes as they figure it out. And as they're just so proud of themselves for growing in ways that they didn't even know they could.
That's really cool. Good for you for teaching these young kids how to do what they do. I have to give you a chance. I want you to talk a little bit about your other part of your family, your wonderful mom, Lisa, who's been a great friend of mine for, I don't know, 25 years or something like that. Tell everybody a little bit about your awesome mother.
Oh, my mom. Well, there are two words that come to my mind when I think about my mom. I think about bubbly and, you know, the sunshine bubbly self that she is, because that's where I get it from. It's a generational thing. And resilience is the other one that I really, you know, want to focus on. My mom has been through so much, as you know. She's been through 2 divorces and, you know, just a lot of heartache, and she just gave me everything she had, especially as a child, and she taught me how to bounce back from hard times, and it helped me as I've been through hardships in my life. I mentioned my little boy that's in heaven and some other hardships that I've had, and I will always be grateful to her for that, for teaching me how to bounce back from the challenges of life and how to take a positive outlook no matter what you're facing.
That's a great summary, and I agree with you 100%. She is a bubbly, upbeat, you know, glass half full kind of gal, if not all the way full in her book. And she's just a tremendous person who bounces through life and is very happy. So I'm sure that's what you said is exactly correct. And I'm sure there is some DNA in here where you're getting some of this from her as well. And while we're on the family, I have to ask you, because I saw you just a couple of weeks ago, your wonderful grandmother passed away, I think at age 88 or so. And I just wanted to give you a chance to say whatever you'd like to say about her, because I know she was a dynamite lady. I've known her for probably 20 or 25 years, and your wonderful dad as well. It was great to see you at that memorial service. Is there anything you want to just share with people about your wonderful grandmother?
Oh, thank you so much. My grandmother is such a huge inspiration to me. You know, the whole theme of her funeral service was, I felt, shining your light. You know, that scripture in Matthew 5, let your light so shine before men. I have always thought that it was important to shine our light and to share our light with others, but hearing that and hearing it at her service really made me think about how am I living my life and how can I do this even better. And it's kind of become an anthem for me. I'm going to let my light shine and I'm going to help others let their light shine. And she was such a special person because every person she met was the most important person in the room. I mean, I loved seeing people at the funeral, like, you know, where she'd go and get bread and the guy who drove her to the airport and her hairstylist, you know, everybody felt important to her. And she is just such a beacon to me of who I want to be.
That's a great answer. And I just want to kind of chime in on that because I was there and I got to watch this and I saw some wonderful things happen at this memorial service. One of the things that I think kind of tells listeners what type of family and heritage you come from was the fact that your wonderful grandfather led the thing off. I mean, a lot of times when your spouse dies, the surviving spouse doesn't speak at a funeral or a memorial service. They basically listen to everybody else speak. Your wonderful grandfather stepped up there, again, in his mid to upper 80s, and mm-hmm. led the thing off, right? And just told some wonderful stories about how they met and what their, I forget how many years of marriage, 60-something years of marriage, I think they had something like that.
Oh, yeah, they have the sweetest, they were high school sweethearts, and
yes.
He just adores her. He
does.
You're so right.
He
That's
does.
Beautiful. Thank
and,
you.
And that comes through when he speaks. I was so impressed that he started the thing off, and that he just told the stories the way they did. When you listen to him talk about how he met his wife in high school, and they passed each other on a stairway, it sounds like it happened yesterday. It's that fresh in his mind, and it's such a wonderful thing. But the other thing that was really cool, and this is a lesson for anybody listening about something to keep in mind for a memorial service, and then we're going to come back and talk more about you, Sarah, and what you're doing, but Sarah's grandma had a request that at her memorial service there would not be any tears. What she wanted instead was applause. And so Sarah's grandfather started this whole memorial service off and invited anybody who wanted to stand up and give his departed wife a standing ovation. And I've never seen that.
Best part.
Wasn't that great? I've never seen that at a memorial service before. And I just thought that was such a classy way to celebrate her life. And so, folks, we're talking about this because I want you to understand a little bit of the background and the character of the people that are involved that eventually produced Sarah Barton, because this is a factor in her upbringing, what she's been exposed to, what she's been taught. And it's just not right to have you or any member of your family on as a guest of the show without giving a little bit of background into your extended family, your current family, and just how strong families are for you, both in the past and present. Does that sound accurate?
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that. It's so true. We are who we're with and who we've been raised by.
And you're a wonderful product of that. Okay, so now more on you, Sarah. This is going to be fun. Over the years, I have seen hundreds of photos of you on Facebook, because I've seen hundreds of photos of lots of people on Facebook in the many years that I've been on there, but I've probably seen hundreds of photos of you on Facebook. You're always smiling. Always. Not everybody is, okay, including me. Not everybody is always smiling. Why do you think that is?
Well, I'll tell you something funny, is if you've ever been on a trip with me, you'll know that for every happy picture, there's about 30 funny ones that didn't go. And I think that's a real lesson in life, that, you know, that sometimes life gives you the golden moment, but that we just keep trying and we just never give up. And that's the key, that life will give us the happy moments, the hard moments, and everything in between. And if we just keep trying and just keep working and just keep on keeping on, just keep swimming, right?
Right.
Then those golden moments will come. So if you look at my phone, you'll see about a bajillion photos, and it's kind of the laughing thing about me. Oh, here's Sarah and her 15 pictures. But, you know, I truly believe in every aspect in life, never give up.
I think that's a great statement. And it's not easy sometimes, right? Sometimes we all kind of go, oh, crap, Lord, take me now, right? I'm done. And I'm just, you know, whatever the challenge is, whatever the situation is, you kind of go, how in the world am I going to bounce back from this one, right?
Yeah.
And yet you do. I mean, some people do. Most people do. And you're one that seems to be able to bounce back. And again, I've never seen, you know, the tougher or harder times that you've had in your life. I just see all the happy moments. But there are people on Facebook who have a horrible life, but they try to make themselves look happy all the time. You're not one of those people. Right?
Mm,
I mean, you can make yourself look whatever you want, right? You're a genuinely happy person that I've known personally for years. I've watched your posts for years. And I kind of went, you know, I think this young lady's one of the 10 happiest people in the world, too. She just shines brightly all the time. And it's really cool. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break for about a minute here. We're talking to Sarah Barton, a good friend of mine who is one of the princesses of happiness on the planet. And she's writing a book that we're going to have her tell us about happiness. We're going to talk about her involvement in fitness and her involvement in health and some of these other things that she does when we come back. I'm just delighted to have her on the show. This is one of the real pros at how to be happy, and I'm delighted to have her on the show. So we'll take a break for about a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on bbsradio.com. We'll be back in about 60 seconds.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
You're listening to the Junk Refund Show, folks. I'm here with Sarah Barton, who is one of the happier people that I know on the planet, and I just want to get some more information from her on how she has successfully gotten the junk out of her life. Now, you know, still there's, everybody has challenges and everybody has uncertainties and everybody has surprises, but some people are just really resilient and bounce back from it really quickly. And I think you are one of those people. Okay, no problem. Sarah, how would you define happiness? What does happiness mean to you?
Well, happiness can mean a lot of things, but if I were to sum up happiness into one word, it would be gratitude. Gratitude is happiness. I love this quote by Thomas S. Monson. To live with gratitude in our hearts is to touch heaven. And I truly believe that as we find things to be grateful for, that we can be happy in any circumstance. I truly believe that.
Do you ever catch yourself writing a list of things you're grateful for, anything like that, to just remind you of the good stuff that's happened in your life? Have you ever done anything like that?
Well, you know, just recently I got a gratitude journal, and to be honest, I'm working on this. This is a work in progress, but I've just started this about a week ago, and I've restarted it. But you know, when I find myself writing a couple things each day that I'm thankful for, you know, either at the beginning of the day or the end of the day, I find that I'm happier.
That's a good point. I've done a kind of a similar thing where, you know, there are times where the world just, for whatever reason, I think it's just a part of the game that we're in, this thing called life that we're all involved in. There are times where it doesn't work out the way you wanted it to, or maybe there are times where you just get a little discouraged and you get a little down and your mind kind of plays games with you and you just kind of keep sinking a little bit lower and a little bit lower. And mm-hmm. I was running a 10K race one time in Odenton, Maryland, and
Woo-hoo!
It was longer. Yeah, and it was longer than the 5K races, so it was twice what I normally run. And mm-hmm. I needed to kind of give my mind something to kind of keep it busy while I was running twice as far as I usually did. So I took my right hand as I'm running, and I went, "Okay, I'm gonna start listing things that I'm grateful for, or that I've been blessed with, right?
Mm-hmm,
blessings
mm-hmm.
in my life, right?" And so I just, you know, as these popped into my head, I would stick out another finger on my hand, and then I'd go to my left hand, and pretty soon I had named 10 or 20. And I went, "Oh, that's cool, I'm going to keep going." And I kept going, and pretty soon I had 50 or 60. And
wow.
When I kind of got past 50, I thought, wouldn't it be cool if I could come up with 100? And I just kept thinking, and I kept running, and the miles went by and stuff, and I kept, you know, doing my fingers on my right hand and then on my left. And lo and behold, I think I stopped at like 110.
Wow.
And I've done that since a few times where when I needed a pick-me-up, I kind of sat back and said, think of 100 things God has done for you in your life, or your family's done for you, or friends have done for you. See if you can name 100 things that you're grateful for. And it's always worked.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that fun? So
mm-hmm.
for what it's worth, when you talk about a gratitude journal, I think that is awesome. This morning when I was driving around, I Googled the definition of happiness. And it said, you know, being in a state of being happy. And I went, okay, what does happy mean? And one of the main words that came up was the word contentment. You're content, mm. right?
Yeah.
And
mm-hmm.
so if you're content with whatever you have, your life, your possessions, your, you know, family, whatever it might be, you don't really want anything. I think contentment's the opposite of wanting something, because when you're content, you're kind of going, "Hey, I'm good. I got it. I'm it, right." Whatever you, and so this whole idea of, you know, if I make $1 million, then I'll be really happy. Or once I have that new car, then I'll be really happy. Or whatever it might be, can be
right.
misleading, because, you know, one of the keys is just to be content, to be grateful for what you have. Now, another thing that comes into play, speaking of running 10Ks, explain to everybody what you do in the fitness part of your life and how that helps you be happier.
Well, you know, it's fun that you mentioned that. I am a huge fitness enthusiast, and that doesn't mean I'm a bodybuilder, and it doesn't mean I'm an Ironman runner, but I will say this, that fitness has changed my life. After 3 pregnancies in a row, after just having some mom weight gain, I kind of had a wake-up call, and I said to myself, I'm going to be an athlete. I am an athlete. And I changed the way I saw myself. Even though I was quite a bit overweight, not for any fault of my own, it's just having kids, you know?
Right.
And I have some good friends that talked me into going to some high fitness classes. If you haven't tried high fitness, it's a really fun, everybody's included, kind of workout. It's just kind of dancey, and it's really fun, and you wear bright colors, and you just, it's a dance party, and it's great. And they really emphasize you be you, and you are a rock star, and as you be you, then everything else is going to fall into place. And I truly believe that. So as I began to see myself as an athlete, I began to eat differently. I began to exercise more. And the weight over time, not like in 6 weeks or anything crazy like that, but over about a span of a year and a half, the weight just came off. And it was a really beautiful spiritual experience for me as I would pray and be like, okay, what can I take on next? What can I take on next? Okay, we're going to try to incorporate more fruits and vegetables. Yes, I can take on one more workout a week. Yes, I can. And it's changed my life. And so now I have this desire to spread it to others. And I love teaching fitness.
So tell people about the classes that you do teach. And I think you're doing some of it online. Am I correct?
I actually don't, but my high fitness friends do.
Okay.
So if you go to highfitness.com, you'll see some really fun online classes. I teach at a little rec center in Chandler, Arizona called Tumbleweed Rec Center. And I
nice
teach
name.
A class of all ages. I mean, you're talking young moms and you're talking 75-year-olds who are, some of them in better shape than I am, to be honest. They are incredible. They are such an inspiration. And you have people of all different levels of fitness who are really just in it for the good and health of your body, for the endorphins. Every time I say endorphins, I think of the funny quote from Legally Blonde. Endorphins make you happy. Happy people just don't shoot their husbands. But in a more serious note, happy people, like when you get those endorphins, you are more patient with the people around you. I am more patient with my children after I've worked out, with the blue cup and the purple cup and the I want chocolate chips on my pancakes or else.
Right. That's right. I think it's such a wonderful thing. I have to just put in a plug. When you mentioned Legally Blonde, I just have to tell you, we have Jesse Craig Bailey, who was Miss Utah in 2018 and just graduated from law school at Brigham Young University, is going to be my guest on the show August 22nd. And yes, she's blonde. And she did a fabulous post on Facebook where she basically said, I did it. I'm legally blonde. And I just went, what a classy thing to say.
Oh, that is so perfect.
Anyway, isn't that great? A quick shout out for Jesse Craig Bailey, who will be on the show on August 22nd. And I'm just really
excited
to talk to her
as well. Way to go, Jesse.
Yeah, that was a great thing. How do you motivate people to get off the couch and start to do some kind of exercising so they kind of catch the spirit of it like you've caught it? Do you have any suggestions that way of how someone can just start to move in the direction that you're having so much fun traveling in?
You know, I do. I believe that taking it one step at a time is really the best way to go. Not trying to be a bodybuilder in a couple of weeks, but just being a little better than you were yesterday, whatever that looks like. Maybe that looks like you're running for 10 minutes. Maybe that looks like you're adding a vegetable. You're adding some color to your plate. Maybe that looks like you're going to bed just a little bit earlier. Maybe that looks like drinking another glass of water. One step at a time, just 1% better, 1% better than we were before.
I think that's a great way to approach it. And that, by the way, is a great way to get the junk out of your home, too, is to just take a little, you know, take a little garbage can bag and find some stuff you can donate or find some stuff you haven't used. And just every once in a while, every once a week or whatever you want to do, take a little bag and fill it up with stuff and get it out of your house, donate it, give it away, sell it, junk it, recycle it, whatever you're going to do. And you do that once a week for a year, and you've taken 52 bags of your house, and you haven't had to pay anybody, right? And so it applies to kind of how you declutter your life as well. And as I talk to people on the show about ways to have a better life, I always like to tie it back to kind of the core business that we're in of how do you get some of the junk out of your home. And I will tell you that people love to have that happen because they will call us angels or godsends or whatever we might be. And all we're doing is just trying to help them clean up their life a little bit. Can you talk for a little bit more about proper nutrition? You're obviously very big on that as well. You've mentioned it a little bit. Is there anything else you want to say about some nutritional tips for people?
You know, I am a big fan of proper nutrition. I am a big fan of what they call intuitive eating. There's a book about it, and I love this idea that you can listen to your body about what your body needs. Now, I've coupled it a little bit with just some things that we naturally know about our bodies. Yes, our bodies need fruit and vegetables. Yes, our bodies need water. But to be honest, I haven't done any crazy dieting. I just try to add the nutrition in my life. I say, okay, that bowl of ice cream was really good, but how about some vegetables? And how about some, you know, that peach looks really good right now. And when I do that, then some of those sweet cravings will naturally go away. And that was kind of my secret, if you call it, to losing the weight and getting on my fitness journey.
About, and you don't have to answer this if you don't want to, but just to give people an idea, I've never seen you or known you to be overweight. You've always been a slim, trim, you know, pretty young lady to me. When you talk about children and losing weight, about how much weight are we talking about that you took off of your wonderful frame?
We are talking about 70 pounds over a couple years.
Oh, that stuns me. That stuns me. I can't picture you 70 pounds heavier than I saw you a couple of weeks ago. that's even more relevant to what you're doing, because I would have guessed you would have said maybe 15 or 20 pounds.
Oh, you're so sweet.
but not 70. 70 is monumental. I mean, that's a lot of weight to lose. And so I just think it's, great for people to understand that you're not only out there, you know, talking about what you're doing, but you're walking the talk as well in your own life. Yeah. And I think that's, quite remarkable. Do you ever, now, I think I know the answer to this, because you're going to be, you know, like the rest of us. Do you ever have a down day, like just a really bad down day, or are your days generally happy with just a mild hiccup along the way?
Oh, no, absolutely. Absolutely, I have down days. My really good friend Jenna, she runs a studio in Utah called Awaken Studios. She told me that about 50% of your days are just going to be crap days. And that's just life. And when I heard her say that, I went, oh, okay. Well, if she thinks that, and as I get to know people better who I just really, really admire, I go, oh, she has her down days and he has his down days. And wow, this person over here that I put on a pedestal that I thought was really, that I still think is really fantastic, they have their challenges too. And it really does open my eyes to realizing that that's just part of life. And I think that as we realize that those days are just a part of life, I think we can give ourselves permission to be in a funk sometimes. And oftentimes what I'll do after I go down my list of, okay, have we gone for a walk? Have we had a nutritious meal? Have we had a good night's sleep? If not, maybe take a nap, et cetera, et cetera. Sometimes I just have to press the call a friend button, like in Jeopardy.
Or yeah, right,
whatever
right,
those shows are. And sometimes I have to just call a friend and just with the kind of teary eyes, I'll say, I'm in a funk. Can you help me? And so oftentimes those friends will just come to the rescue. And they'll say, hey,
yes,
I got a smoothie for you. I know smoothies are your love language.
Good.
Or let me remind you how great you are, because maybe you're not feeling it today. You know? And
yeah,
that's okay too.
I think that's really cool. I am a Chick-fil-A fan. I had the owner operator of one of the local Chick-fil-A franchises on about a year ago as my guest. And
no way.
And he was fabulous. Brad Wood, he was fabulous. And I often catch myself, sometimes you just have one of those days where regardless of how hard you tried or how well you planned or what you thought was going to happen, the day just kind of sucked. It just didn't work the way you thought it was going to. And just surviving and making it through the day, even if you have no highlights to give anybody, just the fact that you didn't quit, you tried, and you hung in there, I'll say to myself, I deserve a peach shake from Chick-fil-A for this day.
Oh,
and I'll reward myself, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm very big on rewarding myself because I've kind of been convinced that nobody else is going to do it. And so I'm big on, you know, reward yourself sometimes just for hanging in there and making it through the day. So
absolutely,
this is really great stuff. I want to come back. We're going to take another break for about a minute. I'm going to come back. I want you to tell everybody about the book that you're writing and a few more questions I want to ask you. This is really fun to talk to you about happiness with Sarah Barton from Gilbert, Arizona, and she's really an all-star. She really has a great life and a great personality. So you're listening to the Junk Refund Show. We'll be back in about a minute, and we'll talk to you soon. Just hang in there. We'll be back in about 60 seconds.
Thank you.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Thank you, Don. That is the golden voice of Don Newsom, our producer, who has been involved in radio for many years and is one of the founders of BBSRadio.com. BBS Radio TV, they're doing some really fun things. And if you want to do your own radio show, call Don or go to BBSRadio.com and tell them I sent you, and you'll be in really good hands. They are terrific people. They do a great job. They just sent me 5 or 6 T-shirts. They ordered like 500 of these for their station, for their network. And they called me up and they said, hey, do you want some T-shirts? And I'm going, yeah, you know, send me a couple of extra larges, this color, this color. How about some more? I'm going, yeah, there's a girl I'm dating in Atlanta. Let's get one for her. Okay, what about, yeah, I had a 5-year-old girl on the show as my guest, runs a lemonade stand in Atlanta recently. We got her the smallest size they had in yellow for her lemonade stand. These guys are just top-notch, terrific people, and they treat me like gold, and I appreciate it, and they're just really great. So hats off to Don and Doug Newsom at BBSRadio.com. So, Sarah, I'm assuming you may have had happen to you what's happened to me a few times, that I'm not the only person who recognizes how happy you are. Do you have other people that comment on this every once in a while?
Well, you know, I believe we all have our spiritual gifts, and I think this one is mine. And yeah, my nickname has been Sunshine my whole life, and that is the inspiration for the book that I'm writing.
Tell me more about the book. That was a perfect lead-in, because that was my next question. You're writing a book on happiness. Tell us more about that.
I sure am. Right around the time that my sweet Nana was getting sick, I had this inspiration. She used to do these seminars where she would go around and talk to people about claiming their personal power. And I made her a promise that I would carry this torch and I would pass it on. And so I'm going to do that in my own way. And so my book is called Sunshine, Finding Your True Happy, 10 Steps to Happiness That Have Changed My Life. And we'll change yours too. And I hope to release it next summer. So if you have connections with a publisher, let me know.
That's great. Good for you. I love that whole concept. And I want to just tell people, as an author myself, sometimes people will say, I really want to write a book. And I'm here to tell you that it's never been easier in the history of the world to write a book than it is now. And the most important thing, in my opinion, is to just get started. Write something. Write a paragraph. It doesn't have to be the first chapter. Write something. Absolutely. Just get started and let your mind start to work on this project. And as it starts to come together, your mind will come up with more things you can write about, and off you go. But sometimes people just want in the authorship world, we'll call it, they kind of want all the ducks to be lined up in a row before they start. And sometimes you just have to start, and you just have to jump in the pool, and then you learn how to swim, right? Right? You can stand on the edge of the pool and look at the water all you want to and visualize what it's going to be like. But if you want to learn to swim, you got to jump in the pool and get wet. And then you start to put it together. So if you want to write a book, just get started, jump in the pool, start writing, and then your mind will come up with some other things that you can do. All right, here's a quick question for you. Besides yourself, who's the happiest person that you know?
My husband. My
beautiful.
Husband is the happiest person I know, which is funny because people who know my husband really well are going to laugh at this because he puts on kind of this curmudgeon-y facade.
Yeah.
He'll talk about his old school traditional things, and he'll joke about, oh, woman, you make me a sandwich and all this stuff. And but, you know, I know few happier people than my husband, and I'm so grateful for him. He is my rock. in every way. As my emotions are up and down and here and there and everywhere, he is constant. And you know, he is the most forgiving person I know. Whenever
that's a great quality.
And I really think that's what keeps him so happy is, you know, when I make a mistake, the next morning he's forgotten all about it. Good morning, sweetheart. And it's a kiss. And I'm like, do you not remember what finger I was last night? All right, cool. Let's go.
That's wonderful. So, what a great shout out to him. You guys, what a wonderfully happy home with the two of you kind of running the show. I think that's fabulous. Yeah, I think
A cute story for you. Our daughter is really picking up on it, and in the cutest way. When my husband or I, specifically me, when I have a moment of frustration or a moment of fear or stress, she made a cute picture and it says, be happy. And it has some smiley faces on it. And just the other day she pointed to it and said, Mom, be happy. Come on. Or she'll say, well, Mom, if you don't believe it, then it won't happen. That's always what she says when we're running late somewhere. And I'll say, oh, we're not going to make it. We're not. And she goes, well, if you don't believe it, then it won't happen. You have to believe it. And, you know, I really think that's true, that we have to believe in ourselves, and we have to believe that we can do whatever it is that we are setting ourselves up to do.
I think that's a great statement, because that's, if you believe it, then you'll start moving forward, and you have the chance of making it happen. If you believe it's not going to happen, you're dead in the water. I mean, it's not going to work, and right? Because it's going to stop you from moving forward. I want to make a quick comment about your statement about your wonderful husband and how forgiving he is. If people want to read a church sermon or talk that will change your life, and you're having trouble forgiving somebody else, Google a talk called The Healing Power of Forgiveness by a guy named James, middle initial E, like Echo, last name Faust, F-A-U-S-T. A brilliant talk that's had a major impact on my life. And he was an attorney by profession, and if there's a profession that knows what words to use to title a talk, it's a lawyer. And the healing power of forgiveness are four brilliant words. There's power in forgiving people, not in holding a grudge. That's weakness. There's power in forgiving people. And I just want to put in a quick plug there, because it's been such a big help for me. Along that line, what role does God or religion play in your happiness?
Well, I'll tell you a little story that's really near and dear to my heart. And that is, quickly, I'll share with you the story of my sweet Michael. And he was my baby that's in heaven. And, you know, we found out that he had trisomy 18 when we were about halfway through our pregnancy. And I'll never forget that day. And we had about 20 weeks to mull over it. And, you know, as I carried him and brought him into the world, we knew that he wasn't going to make it. And the sole thing that got me through that, losing our precious Michael, was knowing that God has him, that he's in good hands, and that I will see him again. And having that faith and knowing that in my heart has changed everything. And it's made me unafraid of challenges to come, because I truly believe that Footprints poem, if listeners, if you're unfamiliar with it, look it up. The poem Footprints, it's where God picks us up and carries us through our challenges. And that experience truly taught me that God carries us through our challenges. That day in the hospital room, it felt like there was an entire crowd of angels. And, you know, at the beginning of the podcast when we talked about the generations and where we've come, I truly felt that my ancestry was in that room cheering me on and saying, you've got this and you're going to make it.
I think that's wonderful. And obviously it plays a big role in your life. I can understand where you're coming from. And I think it's wonderful. You have had, and they say, frankly, they say losing a child is the toughest challenge in life. And I mean, there's moving, there's getting a divorce, there's losing a spouse, which maybe that's even tougher, I'm not sure. But they say that losing a child is the toughest thing to deal with in life. You've had that happen. Most people have not. And you're a young mother. So when it happens early on, that's got to be really tough, you know? And I compliment you for pulling through it and for the way that you guys pulled through it as a team. I just think that's remarkable. Do you have...
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Do you have one or two tips that the listeners could do that would help them have a little bit more happiness in their life?
Well, I think that one thing that we can do to have a little more happiness in our life is to find things we're grateful for, like we discussed, because that can happen no matter what fitness level, no matter what nutrition level or anything. You can always, and of course, if there is a clinical depression, anxiety, I am not a medical professional. But the other thing I'll say too is pray. You know, I think that as we pray and as we, you know, to whatever version of God we believe in, that as we do that, as we try to connect to the higher power, we get a sense of perspective that whatever challenges happen in this life are just a little speck in the aspect of eternity. And that gives me so much comfort knowing that whatever I'm going through, it's not going to last forever. Even if it's the worst of the worst, it's not going to last forever. And that gives me so much comfort.
That's a great perspective. That's a really great perspective. So we got a couple minutes left here, maybe 5 minutes left. I want to ask you two other questions here.
Sure.
Do you make happiness? How do you make it last?
Well, I think that a big way to make happiness last is to manage our expectations. And this is a great quote that has kept me going. Here it is. Anyone who imagines that bliss is normal is going to waste a lot of time shouting that he's been robbed. The fact is that most pups don't drop. Most beef is tough. Most children grow up to be just people. Most successful marriages require a high degree of mutual toleration. Most jobs are often more dull than otherwise. Life is just an old-time rail journey. And the trick is to thank the Lord for letting you have the ride. And that's Gordon B. Hinckley. And I love that quote because, you know, we have our beautiful moments and we'd be thankful for those, but it's okay. As we manage our expectations, then we become truly thankful for those happy, wonderful moments.
I think that's a great quote. And I wish, you're talking to a golfer here, I wish somebody when I was like 13 or 14, I wanted to be a pro golfer, and I wish somebody would have told me at that age that most putts don't drop. That would have helped me so much. I expect them all to go in, right? And so, yeah, that would be a nice, you know, vantage point to look at that wonderful game through. What else would you like to talk about in the last few minutes that we haven't discussed already?
Well, the big thing that I want to emphasize, because I'm a big goal-oriented person, and I love to wake up each morning and have 15 goals of all the things I want to try and all the things I want to do better, and I have to remind myself that it's never too late to be who we want to be, and we can have the strength to to start over every day. And that comes off of an F. Scott Fitzgerald quote. But that it's never too late to start over. And you can start over every morning. And that gives me so much joy and so much comfort that as I am trying to be the laundry queen that has 15 loads of laundry as we speak, I say, you know what? I can start over. I can start over every day. And that's okay. That's what life is all about. It's just trying again.
And I love that concept of a fresh start, because too many times I think people kind of look back on their past and they go, oh, crap, I screwed up. And mm-hmm. they kind of relive it and regurgitate it over and over and over, as opposed to waking up the next day and going, hey, it's a new day and this is going to be great. And, you know, I'm going to go out and do my best today and just move forward. I think there's a natural tendency, I just think in this human world we're in, there's a natural tendency to kind of put baggage on our own shoulders that we then walk around carrying. And I think if God or Jesus or somebody was right there next to us, they'd probably say, hey, you might, you know, take those bags off. You're doing just fine, right?
And absolutely.
We're proud of you and enjoy the walk and you're doing great and, you know, all that, mm-hmm. all this positive, upbeat stuff. In terms of, if anybody wants to get a hold of you, I don't know if you have a website people can talk, you know, a happiness website, or if they want to, you know, get on your list to pre-order your book, or if they want to send you an email to ask you more questions or something, is there a way that people can get a hold of you to talk more with you about anything? Maybe send you a friend request on Facebook. I don't know. Is there any way
find
you want to...
Find me on Instagram, High Fit Sunshine.
Okay. H-I Fit or H-I-G-H?
H-I-G-H Fit, F-I-T, Sunshine. High Fit Sunshine. Come find me on Instagram. Let's talk. And, yeah.
Great. Great. That's awesome. I can't thank you enough. It's been so much fun talking to you and just getting to know a little bit more about the stories that make up this wonderful Sarah Barton and how happy she is. I'm going to go in on my Facebook page when I get back home tonight, and I'm going to change my first statement right there that says, I'm one of the 10 happiest people in the world, me, Oprah, Sarah Barton, and 7 other people I haven't thought much about.
And I'm going to put
you're the first person I'm putting in that, I'm inducting into that club. Oprah just kind of came in just out of the heck of it when I said it originally, but I haven't ever added anybody to that. I'm going to go in and add you to my definition on my page because I think you deserve it, and I think God's really proud of how you've handled what you've done in your life and the sunshine that you're spreading to people, and I am thrilled to have you on the show. And I'll tell you, folks, the BBS Radio will have in a few days from now, they'll have this episode up on their podcast. It will be up on the Junk Refund Show podcast. You can listen to it, send it to your friends, etc. Tell us one more time your address on Instagram that people can find you.
Hi, Fit Sunshine. Come and find me. And thank you so much. What an honor.
Oh, you're welcome. It's been a joy to have you doing this, and it's been a delight to sit here in this parking lot and just talk to you. It's been great fun. So I'm off to do a junk removal job now inside this apartment complex, but this has been a great break, and I really appreciate you being on. And thanks to your wonderful family and your extended family are all just terrific. We could take a whole hour easily and talk about all of their accomplishments, but keep up the great work. Keep smiling. You are welcome. I'll talk to you soon, and thanks for being a guest on the Junk Refund Show.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Say hi to your stud husband for me, too.
I will.
He deserves
Thank
a shout-out.
You.
You're welcome. Folks, you've been listening to the Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio. Join us next week, Thursday at 3 o'clock Eastern. We'll do another episode for you. Actually, it's the 4th of July next week. I'm not sure what we're going to do that day, but we'll get back to you on that one. And on July 11th, 2 weeks from today, the classiest lady in Washington, D.C., Cynthia Steele Vance, will be my guest on this show and will tell you why she's the classiest lady in Washington, D.C. So thanks very much. Thanks again to Sarah Barton for being my guest today. Everybody have a great week, and we will talk to you next week on the Junk Refund Show.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.